This is such a great, incredible lesson right now, and I hope you're not missing it, what God is doing right now. I really hope you're not missing it. Praise God.
I want to thank Lily for being obedient to God. I've never experienced anything like that before. Feels bigger than what
I'm saying. It's good. What he has been showing us this morning. Father, I pray that you give me the words to say. Because I don't want to diminish what you're doing. Even like Ruth just said, it's so much bigger than what she just shared. And what you've been doing this morning so far in us and showing us is so much bigger than what we have sung and what I'm about to say. And I don't want to diminish it. I don't want your glory to be veiled. I do feel you calling me to try to explain, to explain it. And so I pray that you would anoint my tongue. And may you explain to us. Lord, we sit at your feet. I get a picture of Mary just sitting at your feet, hanging on every word you say. And we just want to sit at your feet. I want to sit at your feet and listen. We started off part of our sharing time and talking about how we can't always understand everything. Brian shared that that's one of the things that God is teaching him. But that doesn't mean we don't ask. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to explain things to us. He loves explaining things to us. He is not the type of father who just says, just because I say so, now go do it. Or don't question, just walk. He's not like that at all. He loves explaining it to us. But he also realizes, obviously, that we can't understand everything. I've always try to go by the adage of like raising my own kids and that, and I would encourage other parents. I encourage parents to go by this, and even as we're discipling younger Christians in that, always talk above where they're at. Not above them as in looking down on them, but if it's a 5-year-old, talk to them like they're a 10-year-old. Talk to them like they're a 15-year-old. But talk to them as if they'll understand. And it, you know, it, and I think God does that to us. He speaks to us of things that are beyond our understanding, but it pulls us up. It pulls us up. Rather than dumbing it down, he speaks to us above. And so I love it when he explains things to us. So just because we know that we can't understand everything doesn't mean we can't understand anything. We can understand something. And what God has been doing this morning, oh, I hope you haven't been missing it. Because God has been moving in the Spirit, manifesting that. He always moves, but there has been a manifestation of that. During our worship, you know, if you ever want a proof of it doesn't need to be height, and it doesn't need to be loud, and nothing against loud, nothing against dancing and shouting. We are supposed to shout to the Lord as well. We're supposed to worship him with an entire orchestra of instruments and blow the trumpets and the shofars, and there is time for that, and there is time for being like David and dancing with all our might before the Lord, with everything we've got, leaping like a gazelle. You know, can't do that anymore, but can try my little leaps every once in a while. But there is a time for that, but it's never about that. It reminds me of the Matt Redman song, "When the Music Fades and All is Stripped Away, and I Simply Come, Longing Just to Hear." And it's this place of when everything else is stripped away, when we need to be quieter than we normally are, is the worship there? When we don't have all the instruments, is the worship there? And what the Lord is revealing this morning, oh, and I praise God because I want it to be an encouragement as well. I think the Lord wants to encourage us. Yeah, even when you guys tone it down, man, the worship is there. And the heart's for the Lord. And the seeking after him and the communion with the Holy Spirit, the oneness that we are called to with God, the union and the unity, the abiding in him, it's there. And so I want to encourage that. And that is what we are always, always after, is this unity with the Lord, this oneness with him, this coming to him and bowing down before him, casting our crowns before him, worshiping at his feet, listening to his words, being like Mary at his feet and just hanging off every word he has to say, worshiping him as he is worthy of being worshipped. That's always our goal. It's never the music. It's never the volume. It's never the latest thing. It should never be that. So whether it's in worship or in sharing, Or in preaching. I know I get excited sometimes, but I never want it to be the excitement that grabs people. Now, I'm not saying I shouldn't be excited, because obviously if the Lord is moving in the Spirit, obviously it's gonna reach my soul, and the excitement is gonna build up in my emotions, and my head just starts going like crazy. In a good way, in a holy way, not in the swirly, I don't know what to do kind of way, but passages of Scripture and truths and principles and just the character of God, it all just, it's coming in like a flood. And I'm like, oh, where do I go with this? Where do I start? And the Lord's just like, don't worry about it. I'll show you where to go. I'll show you what to say. And a lot of, like 95% of what he's showing me as we're worshiping doesn't come out. in the pulpit, because it's just, he's just pouring into my filing cabinet up here. He's just pouring it in, pouring it in, pouring it in. It might be for a later date. It might be not for teaching at all, because the truth transforms us. That's the main thing about the truth. It's supposed to transform us. And as I get excited in my soul, which is a good thing because it's under submission to the Spirit at that point, it just comes out my body sometimes and get expressive with the hands, and my voice starts fluctuating all over the place. That's okay, but it can never be about that. It has to always be because of what is happening in the Spirit. Man, when we were waving those flags, it's not just for pomp and circumstance. It's not just because it's a latest trend. It's not just because of what other people do or what other churches do or whatever. Man, God was working through that. And Kevin was right. There was something about that. Like, it's neat that, you know, just that God asked to quiet down, and then we're grabbing the flags because Kareem shared, and because of the song we were singing, it all fits together. Man, God was just inhabiting the praises of his people, right? God inhabits the praises of his people. I see Jesus just flowing, just walking amongst us, and the Holy Spirit just blowing through us. And I hope we didn't miss that. I hope you didn't miss that. And it's not about, well, how are you holding the flag? And how are you waving it? Maybe it'll work for me if I wave it like you're waving it. Maybe it'll work for me if I sing like you sing. I praise God for the giftedness in music in this small group. You think about this small group that we have. We have gifted musicians. We are blessed musically. But it's not about that. I appreciate that Craig tunes his guitar. I really do. But it's not about that. I appreciate the different chording and John filling in. I appreciate hearing the ukulele when you actually do turn it up. I really do. But it's not about that. It's not about cool sounds on the synth. I enjoy those, especially when they fit in. But it's not about that. I appreciate harmonies. I love singing harmony back there, and just the different blend of voices. And man, you could hear it today better even yet because the instruments were down. Like, but it's not about that. It's always about the presence of God and what He has planned for us. It's all about what truth does God want to reveal today. What does he want to teach us today? Where does he want to take us? He's grabbing our hand. Where is he leading? He's always leading us somewhere. Where is he leading? What does he say? It's always about the Spirit of God. And we search for him, and we search for him. Every morning we should wake up searching for him. Lord, are you there? Of course he's there. Where do you want to take me today? What do you want to show me today in your kingdom? Who do you want to touch today? As we were praying for Jesse before that. Do you know how amazing that is? We were praying for the children last week. Do you know how amazing that is? God speaking, us listening and obeying and moving to his movements. It's like a dance, and he's in the lead, and we follow his lead. We just follow his lead. I love it because, again, with the musicians, we're so blessed. For those of you who are not musicians, you do not understand how blessed we are. Because even at a practice, we'll have a brand new song. Brand new song. Craig brings a brand new song. One of his, or Hillsong, or Bethel, or whoever. You know, this is a new one. And hand out the music. And he'll start. And everyone will listen. And then all of a sudden, everyone will start playing along. And within a few bars, within a few frames, often it sounds like we've been playing it for months. Because everyone just can follow. John's sitting there and just let me see your hands, Craig. Just let me see your hands. Where the, you know, and he'll just follow. You think he'd been filling it. We've been practicing the song for years and he knows the filling of it. No, it's just, so we're blessed musically. Praise God for that. But that's how we're supposed to follow him. I get this picture of dancing with him, and he's in the lead, and we just follow him. We can tell by the slight rotation, oh, he's going to dip us right now. Okay, I'll get ready to be dipped. And he's going to twirl us now. I've never done this dance before, but I'm just following his feet, and I know what it is. I know where he's going with this. Oh, I see where this chord progression is going. I get it. Oh, I see where we're going here. I see what this is going to be like. Okay, I'm going to add in here. I'm gonna lend my voice. I'm gonna follow his lead. And so we're praying for each other, and it's just following his lead. Ah, this is what the Spirit is saying. This is what the Spirit is saying. And all of a sudden you guys are speaking out the words of Isaiah 35 over my son. I don't know why. I see a blossom. You know how many people would you know, when praying for a young man, no, we should see bows and arrows and strength and strong arms, all this kind of stuff, muscle cars, and gas pedals, and all that. No, oh, I see a flower blossoming. Beautiful flower. You know, our flesh, our natural flesh, would say, "That's for a girl." You know how amazing that is? That's what walking in the Spirit is all about. Where you go, I'll go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll speak what you want me to speak. I'll pray when you want me to pray and where you want me to pray and for who you want me to pray. And I'll speak those words out. I'll follow. I'll follow your lead. Just take my hand. Do you know how amazing that is? Do you know how absolutely incredible that is? And do you know that it's not just for Sunday? I know you know this already. This is meant to be our lives. Our lives are meant to be a walk with God. Our lives are meant to be following his lead everywhere he goes. Holding his hand. We lay hands on each other here Sunday. You know what? We're supposed to be laying our hands on people all throughout the week. We pray for each other here. You know what? We're supposed to be praying for people because God is busy at work all throughout the week. There's sick people who need praying for. There's people in constant pain, chronic pain, need to be prayed for. There's people who don't know the Lord, they need to be prayed for, and they need to be told. It needs to be shared with them. There are people who are hungry and who are sick and who are naked. And yes, those things physically, but more importantly, even spiritually. We want to see that glory shine everywhere we go. We want to walk in that glory. We want to spread that glory. We never want to take away from that glory. We never want to veil that glory, whether it's through our fear or our charisma. We never want to take away from his glory one way or the other. We do not want to try and rob God. He does not share his glory with another. Do you know how right it was to honor that group that's meeting right now? Like, do you know in your spirit, not just in your mind? Like, yes, I think we understand. That's one thing that we can understand in our minds, maybe. But do we understand it in our spirit how right that was? What God was doing there? What God is doing there still? And our flesh might be, but I want to sing loud. Yeah, me too. Me too. I love singing at the top of my lungs. I love it when we're loud and I can try and belt it out because I can get the high notes easier when I can belt them. And but it's not about that. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, what He has been doing in us through worship and all that, do you know that we probably wouldn't have walked in that if we had said, you know what? We were here first. Because that would be so out of character with God's heart. But if we would have said, no, we're here first, or we've been renting here long term, they're just once here. I don't know if they're once here or if this is going to be a permanent thing. I don't know. Do you know we would have missed? I'm so glad we didn't miss that. I'm so glad that I didn't feel pushback from anyone. I want to commend you. I want to encourage you. I did not feel pushback from anyone. When Kev first said it to me, I felt a little pushback in me. It's like, oh. And I had a choice to make. And this is where any of you who are aspiring to leadership, I could have ruined it for all of you. Really could have ruined it for all of us. It's a scary thing. Because here's the thing. If when I shared that and everyone agreed to, like, well, submitted, but if you would have been in your heart, it would have ruined it for you, but it wouldn't have ruined it for anyone else. If I would have said, it would have ruined it for all of you. That's a scary thing. Man, that's a scary thing. Thank you, Jesus.
Just, I know it's not about the worship and or the miraculous, but I strongly feel the Holy Spirit saying, communicate that I have something special for this group to and that the worshipers, the worship leaders, everyone are to come tomorrow. And I just that all of us here should be there tomorrow.
Okay.
Like after the tongue and stuff, there was just something about, like, I kept hearing it's important. It's important. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to share it. But as you shared that, I'm like, it's important.
Okay. You are all welcome and encouraged.
And to pray between now and tomorrow. Okay.
We can record it tomorrow night. We can make sure it is. We can do that. Yeah.
I'll pray more.
We were worshiping this place. I just felt it was like we were in heaven, actually. And just now, I, well, the last few minutes, I can say
goes right along with, especially the self-control. So the words of Jesus, where the kingdom of God is within you, as Julie was sharing, comes to my heart. And then this question of, but like, how do we unlock that? Because we don't walk in it. The key is submission. And the key to submission is self-control. Where we're not just living our lives on our feelings, what we feel like doing. And it's really this place of submitted, self-controlled submission. Okay, Lord, we will be quieter. We're hearing you call us to honor and bless, and they have requested it. We will honor that. I will submit to you, first and foremost. I'll submit to you. And I'll control myself and walk this out. I'll make choices. I'll say yes. Really, like, I look at this morning, and yeah, God ministers to us every week, and we are blessed. Like, God really does manifest his presence with us on a regular basis. It's pretty, wow, thank you, Jesus. Man, he's giving us a pearl this morning, a pearl of great worth, and great value. And just as you share that, it's like, and it's a key to entering in. It's the gate. It's a way. The way to enter in. That submission. That yieldedness. That listening ear, but not just a listening ear, an obedient, like a listening ear, coupled together with an obedient heart. When Jesus is sharing that parable of the pearl, he talks about the merchant selling everything he had to buy that pearl. It reminds me of what Morgan shared before about that repentance and not, like, not being married to the world. We divorce ourselves from the world. Divorce yourself. Divorce ourselves from the things of the world. Divorce ourselves from the ways of the world. Divorce ourselves from sin. Divorce ourselves even from the things that aren't technically sin. Stop having that argument in your head. But the things, as it says in Hebrews 12, the things even that so easily entangle, or the sin that so easily entangles. So, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I gotta look it up. I'm losing my memory. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So even the things that hinder that aren't sin, we divorce ourselves from those things. And you know what? What might hinder me might not hinder you. So I might have to get rid of it, but you don't. I might have to steer clear of certain things that you don't have to steer clear of, because I find that it hinders me in my walk, but it doesn't hinder you. So I won't judge you for walking in those things. But for me, I got to stay away from them. Now, we're all supposed to stay away from sin. That's for all of us. But where I'm willing to divorce myself from those things that are, quite frankly, neutral, maybe even good in a lot of people's eyes, maybe even things that are good for you, not just neutral in your life, but good. But I need to stay away from it because it hinders me. And can't we see that in the way we live in this sinful world right now? Some of you have allergies that I don't have. Some of you can't. Well, I don't know if anyone has, like, seafood allergies. Very deadly one. I don't have to stay away from that, praise God. I don't have to stay away from peanuts. I don't have to stay away from dairy. I don't have to stay away from gluten. Praise God. I'm not allergic to, I don't think, anything. But others have to. So we sell everything. Are we willing to sell everything to take hold of this pearl? Like, I see it just, I see it just sitting right in front of us. God is presenting this pearl to us, just right in front of us here. Say, do you want it? This pearl of entering his presence, this pearl of his manifest presence, what he's been sharing with us this morning. The tongue. Oh, you seek me. Oh, you come. The words. What was the words? Follow me. You got the train track. You got the. I had the word. I forget what I shared. Exactly. Come to me. Craig, you had. No. Candace had one. Come near. And then one other person had one. Well, with that.
Josh.
I see that's the pearl. This pearl of almost being able to come near. Will you sell everything? Now, Julie says it. It felt like heaven there. Would you sell everything to have that?
In the last 2 days, I've been walking through again about the rich young ruler. And it's that, would you sell everything?
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's one thing you lack. It's always really the biggest thing.
Yeah. And remember what the definition of eternal life is according to John chapter 17, verse 4, right? To know God and to know Christ whom he sent. That's the essence of eternal life. To know God. Would you sell everything to be able to walk in a place where God will share with, like, the way we pray over each other, listening and hearing on behalf of others? Would you sell everything?
What's really being revealed to me lately is, like, whenever it says in the Bible, just different places, you can enter into this, or you do this, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I mean, what I'm as I'm meditating on these things, it means you cannot truly believe, follow me, if you were.
Yeah. I've looked at verses like that ever since I was young, and I know that there's an eternal aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
like heaven and that. But I always have thought, the here and now as well. You walk in those things, you can't enter into the kingdom of God here and now. Be able to see it. The gossip, the slander, And this is the sin that so easily entangles. All those ones are about the sin that so easily entangles. Those passages, the idolatry, the adultery, the immorality, the... At our home, we were talking about movies a little bit, and we watched one as a family Friday night. And, of course, before every movie, there's trailers for other movies. So this one, I forget what it was for. Forget it. But it was the type of movie that I would have watched 5 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely 15, 20 years ago. Lots of shoot 'em up, violence. I mean, definitely one that looked like it was over the top, if I remember correctly. And Carlene turns to me and is like, would you like to see a movie like that? My answer was, I can't watch stuff like that as much anymore. I can't watch stuff like that. And it makes me wonder, what movies I won't be able to watch in a year or two. And that kind of thought used to make me think, oh man, but I don't want to give it up. Ah. Now I'm kind of like, it'll be interesting. Kind of looking forward to these changes that you're making in me, Lord. I don't need those things as like I thought I did. I've never needed them, but I feel like he's saying, yeah, because you can't enter into where I want you to enter into with that hanging around your neck or going on in your mind. Kevin, I want you to try. I want to transform your mind, but you can't have that stuff going on in there. It's where I want to take you. It's what I want to do in you. It's what I want to show you. And if this morning is a glimpse, of where he wants to take us and what he wants to do in us and through us and around us, where do I sell it? Let's go down to Lake Ontario and start tossing things in the lake. I'm not sure if vandalism or not, but you know. It's all biodegradable. It's like let's start burning some things. Because God. His manifest presence. I know he's always with us. Don't believe the lie of Satan that, oh, God's not with me today just because his manifest presence isn't there. That's a lie from hell. God is always with you. Oh, but I think he's taking me through the desert and he's forsaken me through the desert. You know what? No. You never have to go through that. Never. Never, never, never. God is always with us. Now, sell everything we have to get the pearl, the glimpse of that pearl that we see this morning, and many mornings, but this morning even more. Sell everything.
Even when he's always there. He's always there. Like even watching a movie, or if you're with other people and you don't really want to watch that movie, and you really think, man, I'm responsible for what my eyes are seeing and my ears are hearing, and this isn't right, and I'm not there anymore because I will get up and walk out. But I think of what actually my daughter said to me one time, and I think that often is so simple, but would I be doing this? Would I be saying this or watching this? If I viscerally could see Jesus sitting, would I sit there and watch that with Jesus?
Yeah.
Would I listen to that? What we're taking in, our eyes and our ears, it sticks in there. And you see those visions or whatever. They'll pop up at a crazy time. It's like, oh, I should not have watched that. And speak against it and whatever.
And please understand, it's not about the Lord then coming and disciplining us, although he will discipline us. Hebrews chapter 12, if you're children, he will discipline you. If you're, treat hardship like discipline, God disciplines those he loves, absolutely. But I don't even see it as much as, oh shoot, I watched that, now I'm going to get a spanking from daddy when I get home. No. Like, yes, that sometimes is needed, and definitely we see that. But that's not what I think, at least what he's revealing to me right now. It's not that. What it is as we take these things in, it's like an elite athlete eating stuff that they shouldn't eat. Coach doesn't discipline them necessarily, like, oh, now I'm going to sit you out. It's just, now they're getting overweight and lethargic, and they don't have the energy like they should have. And it's like, I'm gonna use a cheaper oil in my car, or a cheaper gas in my vehicle, like you learned with your high octane vehicle or whatever. The first few times, if I remember correctly, you put regular gas in it, and it just, some of those vehicles cannot handle that regular gas. They need the good stuff. Never the vehicles that I bought, but, you know. But, and it's not, oh, I'm going to punish you for, it's just, now you won't be able to walk in the way I want you to, like, I've called you to walk and I've made available for you to walk. It's like putting dirt in your ears and junk on your eyes and, oh, the Lord's disciplining me. No, you've just covered yourself in so much muck. You can't see what he wants you to see anymore. You can't hear what he wants you to hear.
It's like natural consequences, yep. Basically. And when you love your children, sometimes you have to let them go through. Like, for example, Em always wanted to go out, run out in the cold or the rain without a coat on or whatever. And I remember one specific time, I said, okay, go. And she went, she comes back in, I think I need my coat.
Sometimes you never
need a little pink raincoat.
Yeah, you need to let them catch a cold. You need to let them get a little bit sick. You need to, oh, I'm not studying, I'm watching this movie. You need to let them fail. Walk out that natural consequence.
What I think is kind of cool, even when it comes to movies or anything like that, it's like, I think God is changing our hearts.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that, oh, I really wanted to, but I know we're not supposed to. It's more, I don't know. I don't have a taste for it anymore. And that's really
it. It reminds me of, in our family, when the kids were small, we used to pray because our kids were a little bit picky, as most, many kids are. It's not, we used to pray for our taste buds. Lord, change my taste buds. Whew. Would we pray that spiritually? Actually, like, I don't mean would we as in a question. Let's pray that spiritually. Lord, change my taste buds. Where only the things that you have for me, that those things would be the things that I have a taste for. And may garbage be garbage to me. May it just be ugly to me. May ugly be ugly, and may beautiful be beautiful.
To sum up a lot of what I feel the Spirit is saying is pursuing holiness.
Yeah, it is.
It's pursuing holiness.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share by way of encouragement a parable that Jesus shared about a farmer who had two sons. He asked one to go out of the field. I don't know if it was the oldest, but he asked one son to go into the field and work. And he said yes, but he didn't go. And then he asked the second son to go, and the son said no initially, but then had a change of heart. So by way of encouragement, I didn't hear what Morgan shared, but I think it had to do with repentance. And I, you know, if you feel that you haven't been obedient, it's okay.
He's not going to sit there and go, oh, you already made your choice. Go away.
That's right.
Just also along the line of what Jimmy was saying, I'm just out of the room right now. Matthew 6:21, or where your treasure is, there will be also.
I'm so glad that we didn't miss what God had for us this morning. I would never want to miss something like this. If we have to sit here for 2 hours without saying anything, and the Lord calls us to do that, I want to be willing to do that. It's all about Him, His glory, His name, Him becoming more in us, like Him having more place to reside in us, driving out our sin, driving out whatever needs to be driven out, us being transformed by Him, the world being transformed by us because He is in us. I never want to miss. So thankful. Would having louder music this morning been worth giving up what he's poured out? I saw one final hand.
I'm just thinking the Pearl of Oz.
Yeah.
As soon as I've seen it's like, do you want me? Do you want this?
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't have mentioned about it because I didn't. It didn't make me. It didn't make sense. but then when I, Carlene brought up Pearl, it's like, I didn't know that vivid, but a pearl and the vase, and it just came together. And Lord, forgive me for not saying and trying to make sense of everything first instead of just speaking it out.
Yeah.
And this is what I saw.
Yeah.
So yeah, Lord, I want that pearl.
Cool.
Presented. And Lord, I want to follow.
Speaking about letting things into a bigger game, I was just thinking.
gets back to even what we started out with, the back to the backpack. And if there can be a demonic stronghold on an item like a backpack, how much more than teaching? And that's why for each of us, yes, I'm called to be a pastor here, and there's a certain place of leadership and all of that, but each of us need to be first and foremost submitted to Jesus. He is your shepherd. I'm just an under-shepherd. He is your shepherd, and it needs to be Him first and foremost. Yes, I'm glad that He uses me to speak into your lives, but He speaks into your life directly. And He is who you are accountable to over everyone. And so, it's important. Be careful. We need to be careful what we bring into our homes. And especially in that place of what we are submitting ourselves to. Now pray for us. So Lord, I echo Brian's prayer. We just want you, Lord, and we want to receive what you are giving us. And submit to you. And Lord, I pray that our taste buds would change. I'm just going to break away from prayer for a second. But that doesn't mean that you wait for your taste buds to change to stop eating what you know you shouldn't be eating anyways. That's where self-discipline, that's where self-control comes in through the Spirit. That's where submission is. Your taste buds might not change first. Actually, usually it doesn't happen that way. Usually there needs to be submission, obedience, self-control, and then your taste buds will change. Okay? Yeah.
Just for an example, Brian, when he was a kid, I guess, he used potatoes. Potatoes game, and he used to get on them. He used to shove them in the heater, like every time. And then one day his mom found it all. But anyway.
Because there's only so much the heater can take.
Yeah. Then last night we were at Mandarin and we were talking to someone else. And him and the other person were both saying how. Last weekend we were at the restaurant. And how when, you know. Things that when we were a kid we couldn't stand, but we made ourselves eat them or whatever. And as we grew, then we love them now. You know?
Eat things that God loves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Lord, I pray that as we submit to you that our tastes would change, that we would love the things you love, that we would hate the things you hate. That evil would become utterly evil to us. And that good and right and holy would become beautiful to us more and more. Thank you. And as I just see, Lord God, the people leaving from next door, I pray that you bless them as they go. And again, I pray that they would know you better today than they've ever known you before. And experience your living word, you the living word in them. And I pray the same for us in your name.